Well, I think it's probably time to get started. I'm going to begin this by reading a little bit about what the Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn discussed back in 1983. This was when he delivered his Templeton Prize speech. He referred to how societies were losing more and more of their religious essence as they thoughtlessly yield up their younger generations to atheism. And there's no doubt that that is true and has certainly sped up in the past almost 40 years. Well, journalist Cal Thomas, who has written much over the past several decades about religion in America and religious issues, wrote a book very recently called America's Expiration Date, The Fall of Empires and Superpowers and the Future of the United States. His message in the book, he says, is that there is a dark and dangerous side to nations that forget their purpose and whom they serve. He talks about the dark side of American society. Says, who can define evil in our day? We tolerate everything. And that is just about the truth. Well, about in another column that he published in early 2019, he wrote, when the story of America is written in the past tense, its collapse will have been caused by our indifference to God and to all the horrors that historically and inevitably follow it. The conclusion at the end of his book reads as follows. We would have seen it coming had we studied history, or even better, scripture, which warns nations and individuals of the consequences of abandoning God. It's consequences that I want to talk about this evening. We read in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, for he who sows, or verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The whole idea of reaping and of sowing and reaping is affirmed throughout Scripture, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And notice the text says, whatever a man sows, that he will reap. Not might reap, may reap, should reap, could reap, but will reap. And that was pointed out to me by Brother Winkler. Wendell Winkler was a great gospel preacher for many, many years, even preached in this area. And some of his ideas kind of come through this lesson. First of all, we want to look at a few examples where the Bible says sin has its consequences. In Numbers chapter 32, we're going to look at the first one. The background to this verse is there were 2.5 tribes of Israel that were given land east of the Jordan, and that was Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. And Moses tells them that there would be consequences if they do not go over Jordan and do as they were commanded. These are the words that he tells them, Numbers 32 and verse 23. This is what he tells those 2.5 tribes if they don't follow God. He tells them, but if you do not do so, in other words, if they don't go over and do what God has told them and possess the land, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Moses was stressing how important it was that they understood the consequence of their sins. Sins have consequences. Regardless of what the sin is, it doesn't matter. It has consequences. And that whole idea is reinforced over and over and over throughout the Bible. Even some of the Proverbs mention this. In Proverbs 22, verse 8, this is what the wise man said. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Sorrow there has the same idea as trouble, will reap trouble. So anyone who sows iniquity, sin, evil deeds, whatever, will reap trouble. Again, it's will reap trouble, not might or may, but definitely will. And then toward the end of Proverbs, in Proverbs 30, verse 33 says, "For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife." Again, consequences. Consequences. We know throughout the book of Job that this idea of sin and what Job had done or not done is discussed over and over again. Eliphaz was one of those that came to Job and talked to him about all the things that Job had went through, what he had suffered, and so forth. This is what it said in Job 4, verse 8. This is from Eliphaz. This is what he says. I think you'll find it very interesting. Job chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, "Even as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same." If you plow iniquity, that's what you're going to reap, iniquity. If you plow trouble, you're going to reap trouble. If you plow evil, you're going to reap evil. Those are inevitable consequences. The psalmist had much to say about this as well. In Psalms 137, verse 8, the psalmist says this about consequences and sin. Says, "O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed? Happy the one who repays you as you have served us." That's pretty serious. Happy the one who repays you as you have served us. There, the nation was going to receive what it was due because of what it had done against God's people. So according to their deeds, they were going to be recompensed. This is similarly put forth in Isaiah, where Isaiah says in Isaiah 59:18, "According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlines he will fully repay." And notice he says, according to their deeds, he will repay. So as they have done evil, he's going to recompense evil to them. And that's true for individuals or communities or nations or societies, whatever. Just as was mentioned in our introduction a while ago, that with Alexander Solzhenitsyn and Cal Thomas both were reinforcing that same concept. Any nation or group of people, if they forget God, show indifference to God, go away from God, will recompense. And God will recompense in the same way they treated his people. So these are sobering words. Some of the ones that we are most familiar with, that we've heard many times, is found in the book of Hosea. And Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7 says this. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. "They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud. It shall never produce meal. If it should produce, aliens would swallow it up." There is the sowing the wind, and they're going to reap the whirlwind. Of course, we know whirlwind is far, far worse than just wind. As wind can be destructive, a whirlwind will be catastrophic. So Hosea is saying there to these wicked people that because you have sown evil, you're going to reap much, much worse than evil. Again, sin has consequences. Hosea would later say in Hosea 10 and verse 13 this, "You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men." That sounds like it could be written about many countries today, including America. They trusted in their own way. They've gone away from God. Plowed wickedness, reap iniquity. And again, that's going to happen to individuals or nations. You reap what you sow. We have some individual accounts in the Old Testament of individuals who reaped in very severe ways what they had sown. This is found in 1 Kings 21. We have the account of Ahab, Jezebel. They had Naboth slain. He was a good man, hadn't done anything wrong, but they wanted him dead because they wanted something that he had. So this is what Elijah the prophet tells Ahab is going to happen because of his sin. This is found in 1 Kings 21 and verse 19. "You shall speak to him." This is the word of the Lord that comes to Elijah. And this is what Elijah is supposed to say to Ahab. "You shall speak to him saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?" See, they wanted his lands. "And you shall speak to him saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours." That's some pretty strong language. Did it happen? It sure did. In the very next chapter, 1 Kings 22, verse 38. "Then someone washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood while the harlots bathed, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken." Talking about the blood of Ahab. So just exactly like Elijah had told him, his sin had serious consequences. Well, this was also true about Jezebel. Jezebel is the one who had devised the scheme that ended up putting Naboth to death. And in 1 Kings 21, verse 23, this is what Elijah tells her. "Also concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." Wow, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Well, we turn to 2 Kings 9, and we see where that exact prophecy came into play. 2 Kings 9 and verse 37. And we should go back to verse 36. Okay, let's even go back further. Verse 33. It says, "Then he said, throw her down," talking about Jezebel. "So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, go now, see to this accursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, on the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuse on the surface of the field in the plot at Jezreel, so that they shall not say, here lies Jezebel. The king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel both, found that they could not I guess you might say, escape from God's law of reaping when they sowed. Some people think they can sow and not reap. Parents think that they can live immoral lives in front of their children and not see the consequences. No, not true. Teenagers, the same thing. They think they're immune to sin's consequences. You know, a young man might get drunk, get behind the wheel, and kill others, maybe himself, those in his car, or those he runs into. Sin has its consequences. So why do some people think they can sow and not reap? And there might be a lot of reasons. Here's a few that Brother Winkler mentions. Some believe they can sin without consequences because they have a wrong concept of God. And if you ask people their concept of God, some people have the idea that he's just a, you know, a nice, benevolent grandpa, or he's like a Santa Claus that just gives out gifts. That is not the case. God regards sin very seriously. Always has. He always will. He is a God of mercy, the Bible says, but he's also a God of justice. In Exodus 20, when we read about the Ten Commandments that were given to the nation of Israel, this is what is said in verses 5 and 6 of Exodus 20. You shall not bow down to them, talking about idols, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So, in that, those two verses, we see, if you will, both sides of God, the merciful side of God and the just side of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:29 that he's a consuming fire. Yeah, he's a God of love, but he's also a consuming fire. We know that we're not to take vengeance upon people when people wrong us. We're not supposed to take vengeance upon them. But the Bible says in Romans 12:19 that God is the one to whom vengeance belongs. Vengeance belongs to him, and he will repay. That's Romans 12, verse 19. Another reason people think they can sow and not reap is because there is a time lapse between the sin and the consequence of sin. The wise man Solomon gives us some words to ponder in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11 that touches right upon this. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11. He says this, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of the men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. So some people think that because when they do something wrong, when they sin, when they do something evil, that there's no immediate consequences, that there won't ever be any consequences. But we know that's not true. Remember when Jesus goes into Jerusalem, you know, he is entering the city, and then he looks down upon the city and he starts to weep. And he says, just like a hen likes to gather its chicks around her, I wanted to gather you around me, but you would not. So Jesus is looking into the future nearly 40 years and seeing what's going to happen. You know, the first half of Matthew chapter 24 talks about the destruction of Jerusalem and what it was going to look like, and what the people were to do the Christians when the Roman army surrounded the city, what they were to do, how they were to be saved. All they had to do was listen to what Jesus told them to do in the first part of Matthew 24. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. But again, that's not going to happen for nearly 40 years. So even though Jesus is crucified, it takes nearly 40 years before the consequence of that sin is fully realized in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So sometimes consequences don't come right upon, you know, the end of the sin. Sometimes it takes a long time. You know, going back to what we read at the very beginning in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." The original word for mock means to turn up the nose, which is like, you know, showing contempt for somebody. When someone thinks he can sow and not reap, that's what they're doing. They're showing contempt toward God. There's a lot of people who think they can escape the consequences of sin. Some people think if they hide it, then there won't be any consequences. And sometimes people will go for years and years and years and no one will learn about the sin they had committed. Or others might think if if their sin is forgotten, or if it's just regarded as some little mistake. Well, the Bible says sin is sin. Whether it's what some people call a little lie or whether it's murder doesn't make any difference. Time doesn't erase the consequences of sin. Just like we read back with Numbers 32, be sure your sin will find you out. Just because, and I think this is a point that needs to be emphasized, just because people are forgiven of their guilt, that doesn't mean the consequences of the sin won't remain in this life. You know, forgiveness does, it removes guilt. It brings one back into fellowship with the Heavenly Father. But consequences are still there. You know, when we, you know, cut ourselves on our leg or something, we have a cut. The wounds heal, but the scar is still there. And that, yeah, I think, is something people forget. We know about Moses. We remember what happened to him. Remember there were two incidents when the nation of Israel was traveling in the wilderness. The first time, you know, they needed water to drink. So God told Moses to hit the rock, to smite the rock, and water would come out. And that's exactly what he did, and water came out. Well, later on, the children of Israel needed water again. And God told Moses to speak to the rock and water would come out. Well, Moses didn't speak to the rock. He hit the rock just like he had done the first time. Well, water came out, but the consequences of that disobedience are seen here in Deuteronomy 34. So that's the scene, that's the background to what Deuteronomy 34 is talking about. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 4 says this. Then the Lord said to him, talking about Moses, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He's talking about the promised land, land of Canaan. "I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." And the reason for that was because he disobeyed by striking the rock. Now, we know Moses was forgiven because in Matthew 17, we read about, you know, Moses and Elijah being there, being brought back, if you will, from the dead. They represented the lawgiver and the prophet. So Moses was forgiven, but there were still consequences. We remember King David he had Uriah killed, basically. He committed adultery with Uriah's wife, and there were very serious consequences to both of those actions. And David had to reap the consequences of those actions. So he was forgiven. You know, we read in Psalms 51, that whole psalm is about David discussing his transgressions and his, his repentance, his sorrow, but also about forgiveness. So we can be forgiven of any sin as long as we're willing to repent of it. That doesn't mean, though, that there won't be consequences. So the sins of the body can be forgiven, but the consequences will linger. And that's, you know, true of people who are involved in fornication or drinking or drug abuse, or it goes on and on. We can be forgiven of those things, but there still can be consequences here in this world. So when God tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. That is an unchanging law. It has been here since the Garden of Eden, and we know what happened to Adam and Eve. They were given specific instructions about what to do and what not to do, and they disobeyed, and there were consequences, and there always are. Thankfully, we have a Savior who knew what the consequences would be when he took on human form to come to this world. He knew what was going to be ahead. He knew the pain, the suffering, the humiliation. He knew all of that was coming, and he knew those consequences, but he knew if he didn't, then we couldn't have forgiveness. So we're very thankful for what he knew he had to do for us. So thankfully, because of him, we can have that forgiveness. We can have that guilt removed, and we can have that fellowship once again with the Father through the Son. Well, I appreciate everyone that listened in. We're going to be doing these on Sunday night for the immediate future, about 6 o'clock, and hopefully you will be able to tune in again next Sunday evening. Thanks again.